Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a story told about a child who moved into a new home in a new town. Everything was strange to him. That first night, he repeatedly called his mother into his room, and she would assure him, "Don't worry, son. God is with you." After several repetitions, the little boy looked at his mother and said, "I know God is here, but sometimes I need God with skin on." Don't we all? The one true God who fills all things is beyond time and is creator over all. That's enough to chew on right there. Our fallen human minds cannot begin to understand him. We are time-bound. We are earth-bound. Naturally speaking, we can comprehend our Creator about as well as the ants going back and forth on the anthill can comprehend the human being standing there watching them. What can the ant know about the giant human? What can we know about the God who fashioned the universe? But is that all we can say about God? He's like the big person. We're like the ants. He can squash us anytime he wants. Not at all. The church season of Advent urges us to look for the God who is coming. And if we let it, Advent teaches us to look for the coming of God with skin on. The one referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. He is coming to bless. He's coming to bless and not to curse. He's coming to bless and not to squash. This person bridges the gap between the infinite God and the finite human, as Jesus shows us our Creator and how we need this. It's the difference between God as an abstract idea and God as a person, someone knowable, someone relatable, who's walked in our shoes. Now, it's true. Our creative God spoke creation into existence by the power of his word, and even now holds that creation in the palm of his hand. We confess in the creed so often, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And Martin Luther explains this with these words, "I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still takes care of them." If you've spent any time at all in the Small Catechism, you've probably studied those words. But do they still grab you like they should? Do we take the appropriate time to contemplate the majesty, the power of a God who creates, who preserves what he makes? Well, the psalmist, in words we sang just a few minutes ago, said, "The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." A lot of the time, that kingly language kind of goes right by us. But But think of it this way. Most people would be honored, maybe even flabbergasted, to be invited to Buckingham Palace and receive an audience with the king. Imagine what a big deal it would be if you received that invite. If word got out, you would probably be featured on the news. Now, chances are none of us will have that privilege, and yet we are invited into the presence of the one who is the great king, the king above all kings. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. How much greater is this king than any earthly king, president, or prime minister? In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hand formed the dry land. How can we ever be in a position to know such a God? How can we approach the one who not only made the universe, but also created each one of us? Now, a person might say, well, God commanded us to come to him, commanded us to worship him, and sure, that's true. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. But I know that when I look in the mirror, I see the reflection of one whose thoughts, words, and deeds are often a mess. I see someone who's not always eager to come into God's presence and bow down and worship, but who often runs in the other direction to go where I want to go. The sinner in me doesn't want to kneel before anybody. How can I come and kneel before the Lord, my Maker? And how do you intend to? Good news. There is a way to enter the presence of the Creator. And it's a way that is only for sinners. That way is a person. A person who said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. This person is at the same time the eternal Word through which all things were created, and he's above all things, and in him all things hold together. This is the only begotten Son of God, Jesus himself. We can know him because he became one with us. He is God with skin on, exactly what that little boy wanted in our opening story, and the God that our hearts long for. He is the miracle and mystery of the Creator entering into his creation, the author of the story writing himself into the plot, into the action. We know him first as the baby of Bethlehem, cradled in the arms of his virgin mother. We know him as the wandering preacher who captivated the crowds. We know him as the one who rode into Jerusalem on a colt, as we heard again this past Sunday. We know him as the Lord of nature, whose voice stilled the sea and turned water into wine. We know him as the one who opened the kingdom of heaven to us by redeeming us with his own holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. We know him as our great high priest who offered himself on the cross as the final sacrifice for a world that had rebelled against him. We know him as the Lord of life who entered our tomb and emerged on Easter morning, destroying the power of sin, death, and the devil. We know all this about him because he took on human flesh. He is God with skin on, and the Gospels are the record of his appearing. Jesus himself is our way to the Father. He's the only way. He said, "No one comes to the Father except by me, through me." And at the same time, he is the Savior of the world who invites everyone to come to his Father through him. And he does so in ways that we can sense, that we can see, that we can feel, touch, even taste and smell. He calls us and seals us to himself through the water with the word, that gracious dying and rising in baptism. He calls us to his altar where he feeds us his own body and blood, letting us know that life with him is a feast. He speaks to our greatest need with the most important words we'll ever hear. "You are my beloved child. I am well pleased with you." The Father speaks those words. You hear them because of Jesus. And so, this Advent presents you and me with an opportunity that you're already taking advantage of. The opportunity to draw closer to Jesus, and by drawing closer to Jesus, drawing closer to your Father. Drawing closer to Jesus and his Father is both simple and difficult, because it's a matter of the time that we give to him. Now, the fact that you've taken the time to be here in the midst of what for most people is the busiest time of year, bar none, is evidence that you want to grow closer to your Savior and your Creator. That's truly a beautiful thing. So I would encourage you to lean into your devotion of time in these coming days. Talk to God in prayer a little bit more. Absorb his words to you a little bit more. Be a little more deliberate in serving the people around you. Invest your time in nurturing closeness to Jesus, and you'll come to know the Father in a new way. Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, Heavenly Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit, you have given us the precious gift of time spent with you in these very moments. We thank you for this gift, and we pray that during this Advent season, you would keep us open to giving you this time, to allow you to speak to us. We thank you for allowing us to speak to you in prayer, to unburden ourselves, to praise and thank you for your blessings. And we ask that during this season, which is often so full, when our schedules are packed and we're here and there, that you would occupy the place of most importance, both in our calendars and our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.